Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast. I'm Boyd Hilton. I'm joined by my fantabulous colleague, Stephanie L. Sealan.
Stephanie L. Sealan? What is
the L? Decided to give you a middle initial.
My middle
initial is P.
Oh.
Pauline.
Yeah.
Is it Pauline?
Pauline.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome to me.
And KZ Ribeiro.
What is that?
Have you got a middle name?
Yeah, Anne.
Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne Ribeiro.
Oh, nothing like Kellyanne Conway.
And John is in the room engineering away, whatever we
John,
call
what's
it.
John, what's your middle name?
Claude. We know this.
Oh, Claude. Claude, of course.
We've asked him so many times.
JC's
what about you? Are you Jonathan?
Yes.
Mm.
Boyd Jonathan.
Correct.
Boyd Jonathan Hilton.
Correct.
Mm.
Mm. Well, glad we got that out of the way. This is the world's most foremost pop culture / mostly television podcast. Kay's already complaining. What are you complaining about the mic?
John's put the mic right up in my... It's like...
Up in your grill.
He's got right up in my grill. He's put
but
it right up my nose.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a shame, John, just trying to make it so that we can all hear what the hell you're saying.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, if I hold back, it's only because basically that mic is in my nose.
Anyway, today in episode 68, as I'm calling it, because in very real sense it's the 68th one we've done, we're going to review the new drama from the writer of Poldark, and it's called Age Before Beauty, Kay.
Yes, it is.
He's the writer of Poldark.
Cutting It. Debbie Horsfield adapted the epic novels, the original novels, for the current
version of Poldark. The writer.
Debbie Horsfield has written every single episode of the new incarnation of Poldark, starring Aidan Turner, since it's come back.
She wrote Cutting It.
Oh. And this is very much a kind of return to that vibe, a contemporary drama about a salon.
Good for you, Debs.
Yeah. That's a new drama series starting on BBC One. In sharp contrast, as I often say, there's a new documentary series, Travels in Trumpland with Ed Balls.
Okay. Never has a more glorious sentence be said.
The Strictly Come Dancing star and / former Chancellor of the Exchequer. Ed Balls, he is gone around America and met Trump-supporting people of various types.
Mm.
And this is the first episode. We'll be having a look at that. And there's a big new HBO show called Succession, which is going to be on Sky Atlantic and your Now TV from next week. I have watched it. Yeah. Kay's watched half of it. Steph's watched none of it. We're just being, as we like to be on this
transparent
podcast. It's our middle name. Talking about middle names, transparent. I've seen the whole of the first episode and quite some of the second. Kay's watched, I think, slightly more than half.
Do you say you've seen quite some of the second?
Quite some of the second.
Well, it'll be a classic. I'll ask you questions to see if it is worth my time.
Yes, that's what you do, yeah. When you haven't seen something, you're the question
I'm the question person.
Master.
Yeah.
But before any of that, in what's now become tradition on this podcast, it's a format point, we get to hear the minute-by-minute viewing diary of Stephanie Sealan.
Honestly, you'd miss me if I wasn't here. Now, I tell you what, I've had a bit of a week of films this week. Yeah. A trio.
I'm excited. These films that have been out for years and you've just suddenly got around to watching.
There's nothing,
no, boy.
Can I just say, there's nothing with watching old stuff because...
There's nothing wrong with watching.
There's nothing with watching old stuff.
I don't like to interrupt, but...
No.
It's so hot. How am I going to remember all the words?
But there is
They're melting
wrong.
Out my head.
There's nothing wrong.
Remember, you watch Midnight Run, at least once a month. You watch Get Out once every 8 weeks. And something else you watch every 6 weeks.
Can I just say, Midnight Run, it was the 30th anniversary, so that's a ritual. You have to watch it on its anniversary.
Great film.
Brilliant
film. Ending.
In the top five of all time. Well, what have you been watching? What are these old films? Or maybe they're new
they're
films?
No, they're not old films. So, on Kay Ribeiro's recommendation, I watched the film Blockers. Which is about three friends at high school, American high school, and their parents. And all the three girls have decided to have got a plan to all have sex, lose their virginity on prom night, and their three parents are going to do anything they can to stop them. So it's got Leslie Mann, John Cena, forgotten that incredibly
good,
funny guy from the Mindy show.
Did you like it?
I thought it was incredibly funny. I mean, I'm a big Leslie Mann fan, hugely entertaining. Yeah, I don't feel there's been enough said about that film. It was very good.
Oh,
anyway.
It got a big critical reception.
Oh, did it? Yeah, it got five stars from me, more importantly.
It's uncontroversial that it was good. Yeah.
Now, one film that has caused a bit of controversy is I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer.
Yes.
Haven't
now,
seen it.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, let me give you the lowdown. Mm. Okay, so Amy Schumer, in this film, I Feel Pretty, plays a girl who feels overweight, she feels unattractive, she feels like she's surrounded by beautiful people. Key to this is, you know that gorgeous Emily Ratajkowski person who's just always showing her bum and her
boobs? The beautiful
boobs.
One.
Yeah, she's in it. And anyway, she's in it looking beautiful. And there's loads of beautiful people and Amy Schumer's like this girl and she works for an online beauty brand and she's like, oh, she feels so down. She's got a boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. And she's got these two other friends. And anyway, they're all single. The key problem with this and what everyone else's problem with it is basically she has a bash on her head. She goes to a spinning class.
Well, that sounds like the
main
problem right there.
No, bashes her head. And then when she awakes, she feels amazing. She thinks she looks incredible. And she thinks she looks completely different. Obviously, she looks exactly the same.
So only because she's had a bash on her head.
She had a bash on her head. She's like, I am the most beautiful girl ever. Mm-hmm. Okay, the key problem here is that she is incredibly... She's thin and she is pretty. And that's the key problem that most people have. Wouldn't you say, Boyd?
Yes.
So people said she shouldn't play this role because it's not like when Gwyneth Paltrow played, you know, in Shallow Hal, when actually in real life she was like, well, not in real life because she actually was really skinny.
Yeah.
In fact, that's got problems as well because she was really skinny. God, do you know what? There's so many problems with these kinds of things. Anyway,
coming soon, J-Lo.
Oh, not J-Lo.
She's done this film. And
is she pretending to be ugly?
Is it?
It's like, oh, you know, she's having to restart rebooting her life because, you know, poor J-Lo.
Oh, God, she's going a real Jenny from the block. Is she her hair all, like, not straightened and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so actually this is a good debate point. Is it okay for beautiful women to pretend for a film that they are not attractive?
It's just asking people to suspend their belief too much.
It's okay, it's just a bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah, because the thing about this is Amy Schumer, I was like, but you've got these gorgeous long skinny legs and you look amazing. And I don't know. Anyway, she bashes her head again in it. And
say that's the most problematic thing.
Yeah. But I have to say, I did really, really enjoy this film because as I've said before about Amy Schumer, is she a funny comedian? No. Is she funny in comedian? Hold on, in comedy films. For me, I find her funny in comedy films, romantic comedy films. I think she's absolutely hilarious. Her comedy, The Leather Special, was not funny. Available on Netflix.
You're allowed to talk now, Boyd.
The sketch show, which was on I think Comedy Central here in this country, maybe in
it was okay.
No, it was really good. It had some brilliant classic moments. And like any sketch show, it's a bit, you know, some of it was great, some of it's not so great. But I totally disagree. I think she's really funny. And I think her stand-up's great.
They had a whole sketch about yogurt that tasted like vagina. I don't think that's particularly funny.
Oh, so it's coming from you don't like the rude things, do you?
You know, the things that I don't like are...
I don't think anyone wants to hear about yogurt-y vaginas.
You know, no one wants to hear about that.
We don't even hear about it here now, but...
Let's move on.
We've got to listen because the list is quite long today.
Oh, no.
Okay, hold on.
All right, films I have
third
been watching
film.
In
third
the last
film. No, I'm going to do it very quickly. Third film, Rampage.
Yes.
Heard about this film?
Yes.
Nope.
Film that came out.
It's The Rock.
Oh, yes.
It's The Rock, and he...
It's not the new film with The Rock.
He's a primatologist. He's a primatologist, and from the sky, these kind of growth hormone things have fallen from the sky, and they make they basically make the animals that he's looking after go vicious and turn huge. It's very good. It's The Rock at his best. Anyway, I'll just...
The new Rock film is the high-rise one, Skyscraper. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, he makes a film every week. What, you know?
No, I look forward to getting your views on Skyscraper in about 6 months' time.
Ooh, you. Honestly.
Boy, don't be sniffy.
Don't. Okay.
Skyscraper, seriously, is not as good as that, to be fair.
Not as good as Rampage.
No, I quite enjoy Skyscraper in its kind of terrible way, but Rampage is genuinely good.
It's a good film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good fun. Yeah.
It's a really good film. Okay, right.
Good fun.
Good fun or good film?
It's more good fun than a good film.
But it is.
But if it's good fun, then
film,
it probably is a good
so
film,
it is.
Right?
Pretty much.
Okay. You can't,
I mean, Boyd.
No, let's not get hung up on
there
it.
There seems to be a bit of an argument to there in London, which I'm not enjoying.
Okay, two things on Netflix.
Oh.
Okay.
So right. Those things weren't on Netflix. Those films are on, you know, presumably you watched them on iTunes or something.
I did. I watched them on iTunes.
Okay, good.
I watched them on iTunes, Boyd.
I think they are actually
illegal
on
tunes.
iTunes.
One of them, I watched them on iTunes and one of them was still at my local cinema. So I went to watch
did
it
you?
There.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Oh,
she didn't.
I did.
Screen
anyway.
Number 15. The Lutnodian.
Yes, and that's where I saw Rampage.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, right. Inside the World's Toughest Prisons is back for its second season. Okay, do you know Raphael Rowe, who was wrongly imprisoned for 12 years for a murder he did not commit? They thought he was the head of a gang that committed a crime for like armed robberies and someone got murdered, but he didn't do it. He was in prison for 12 years. Now he goes around looking at other prisons, the World's Toughest Prisons. And what he does, why it's different to any of the other shows, is he inserts himself in the prison to see if he can survive in that prison.
Well, does
so
he
this
survive?
Is the, well, he does. This second season
Spoiler.
Starts with, it's the gang prison. Oh,
I seen a picture. Does he have tattoos on his face?
No.
Oh, I've seen the wrong picture.
Of a man another, with tattoos.
Yeah, who went in. No, we didn't we preview something? In this week's magazine?
Of there's a film.
Tough Prisons.
A,
and then
no, there's a Channel 4 show called Prison, which is a two-parter about British prison.
Maybe this is that. A gang prison. And anyway, in this gang prison.
Was it a prison where they only have gangs?
Yeah, well, it's a prison that basically what they've realised is they have to separate the gangs because otherwise it's just absolute chaos. So it's only a certain gang in this prison.
Oh, right.
Just a one gang prison.
Yeah, a one gang prison. But you know what? They've got dogs, they have kittens in there, they all do their own washing.
Is this definitely a prison?
Yeah, 100%. It's very interesting.
Dogs, anyway. you quite enjoy it,
though. It looks very fun.
Oh, my football. Gosh, should we do like an unmissable pod mission where we send you into this prison?
John Dunn, I feel like I'm being bullied. What can I do? Is there a HR department for this?
He
part?
Is
Are
HR.
You in charge of the HR department? Okay. Last thing. Right. Last thing. Dark Tourist. Oh, sorry. Inside the World's Toughest Prison is on Netflix. What? Sorry, Boyd, what were you going to say?
No, I'm interested because this is a controversial programme as well.
Now, is it?
Yeah.
So I started watching the first one yesterday. Dark Tourist. So I hope I'm saying his name right. David Farrier? Farrier?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so with all the plethora of tourism shows that there are out there, he is going to, he said there's a rise in dark tourism. I think it's like 30% of people now want to go to
What
do
is
straight.
Dark tourism?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Kay. So basically, the one that he goes to Medellin, which is narcos tourism. So basically, Pablo Escobar and the, you know, he has the like Pablo Escobar barrio bit. That some people want to go and see that and just go to all the places where people were murdered and stuff like that. I know. Dark tourism is a thing. So this guy is taking you all around different places to where, yeah, 80%.
Can I ask you a question? Because you do like real life crime and stuff. Would you ever do something like that?
Holidays to me are about pools, sand, and sun and inflatable things.
But it's a bit like Ramesh Ranganathan's show as well.
I don't think you should make that comparison because Ramesh Ranganathan I think Ramesh Ranganathan is kind of a little bit of a happy romp through a place that maybe an unloved place. This is very definitely going to a place which is horrendous and filled with bad memories and crime. I think they are very different. I will not have you comparing them.
I'm not saying it's similar.
Well, you did. Okay. That's exactly what you said. You said it's a bit like the Ramesh Ranganathan thing.
A bit like.
It's a good point.
Well, that is what is saying something is similar. Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, there was an article in The Guardian today, Monday's recording this, called Netflix's Dark Tourist and the Trouble with Extreme Travel TV.
Right, okay, what do they say?
David Stubbs, and he basically talking about how this genre, you know, is it's like... It's like Louis Theroux did it and was very careful about it, but this is like, you know, dangerous worlds and kind of, you know, for our entertainment, you know, for our entertainment. It's like, it's exploitative, I think, is the kind of bottom line of the idea.
Well, this whole thing started with a guy who looked like Pablo Escobar and he was in a taxi and he was pretending he was having a conversation about killing somebody and killing someone's dog and killing someone's
pretending
family.
Pretending to?
Yeah, it's a bit like immersive theatre.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this doesn't sound good. I mean, the program
it
sounds
was fine.
No, it sounds good as in like as a concept.
And by the way, that article in the Guardian did mention the Ramesh Ranganathan show as well. Just saying.
Yeah, but then you just said you didn't think it was similar.
A bit like.
Well, you know, you just go on
and
one
Ross
side
Kemp
or the other.
Shows. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but they're not. But that's because people who are writing these articles just have to come up with other things that are about tourism. Boyd.
Okay.
They're either the similar or they're not. Is all I'm saying.
A bit.
Well, I don't
is that
you can say
your
that.
Is that your diary?
That's my
finished
diary, which I think we can all agree.
I think that's a good list.
But I would like to commend Kay because I am knee-deep in The Teacher's Pet for her fabulous recommendation. And I've recommended it to everyone I know and it's wonderful.
It is good. Yeah. Where are you up to?
I've just finished episode 4. So if you don't know, that is the brilliant Kay's recommendation last week, which is all about a teacher who may or may not allegedly have done away with his wife and buried her in the garden. Possibly, maybe, allegedly, we don't know. We cannot be the people who say that that happened.
Right. Pogs, you just got to know that there was a little discussion before this recording where Steph was sat down by John.
Person.
Well, we all were, and told that, you know, we've got to be very careful about how we phrase things. Maybe, so possibly, people, I don't know.
Some people think he did it. I'm not saying he did.
Producer,
I'm just saying some people think he did.
Guru, editor, legal advisor.
Yeah, he's a legal advisor now. Yeah, he's our lawyer.
Some of us need legal advice.
John is our lawyer. Now,
you're going to need legal advice in a minute.
I don't know, I'm going to try and calm you both down by telling you my recommendations this week. Unless, have
Moving
you finished?
No.
On.
Oh, go on, carry on. No, I have finished.
Oh, okay. So first I wanted to tell you about my trip to a BAFTA screening. Now, Boyd every week will say he's been to BAFTA, and I didn't realise that you get very good snacks and drinks there.
What snacks?
You get olives. You get little breadsticks. Oh, God.
I like breadsticks.
Delicious antipasti. Delicious.
Get sweeties.
And you get, but you get refreshing drinks. It was really nice.
Like fruit drinks?
I liked it. The reason I was there, I'll tell you, for why, not just for the snackettes, although they were delicious, was for a very swish screening of Vanity Fair, which...
Strictly embargoed?
It's strictly embargoed, so that's why I'm going to tell you all about it in detail right now. No, I'm not going to. I just wanted to say it's coming onto our screens. It's adapted by Gwyneth Hughes, the writer, who has taken on William Thackeray's classic novel. Have either of you read it? Because I wasn't actually familiar with it. Do you know?
No.
Okay, so young Becky Sharp is a girl who was born of lowly birth. You know, her father was an artist. Her mother was, I think, a dancer in the opera. And so she's had quite a poor upbringing, and she desperately is trying to claw her way up the social ladder by hook or by crook, or using all her feminine wiles just to make a better life for herself. And it's all about this story. But anyway, it's got a stellar cast. They've got Michael Palin in it as Thackeray himself. So he's being the narrator at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Francis de la Tour, Frankie de la Tour.
Frankie
de la Tour's in it.
Oh, I'm in.
Martin Clunes.
Oh, I'm doubling.
Saran Jones.
Oh, God.
I mean, just deal with it. It's a fantastic cast. It's a fantastic cast. Olivia Cooke plays Becky Sharp, and it is such a visual feast. It's great.
This is going to be the greatest thing ever. When's it on?
It's coming soon.
Boyd, why are you so angry with me today?
I'm not angry with you. No, I thought it's funny how excited you were about Olivia Cooke. In the
time.
Yeah.
She's good. Okay, so that's the first thing. That was a bit of a preview.
Do you know why? Because I thought you meant Olivia Colman.
I know you did. And I was going to say, you've confused her with Olivia Colman, haven't you? Because I was literally like thinking she thinks it's Olivia Colman, but she's in such a bad mood with me. She thinks I'm picking on her. I'm not going to correct it, so I'll just leave it. But in fact, exactly right.
Listen, you know
the
that
way
I
your
will...
mind works. Yeah.
I'll always correct myself. Yeah. You
it's
know
young
this.
Olivia Cooke, not
Who's
old.
Who's that?
Not, yeah.
Should I be
she's
excited about
her?
She's
a very good actress,
wasn't
yes.
she in... She wasn't in Ready Player One, was she, or something like that?
She's in something like that, yeah.
But also, we've got a friend called Olivia Cooke. Well, Kay's very good friend,
yeah.
Olivia Cooke. So
he
I have warm feelings about people called Olivia Cooke.
You should have warm feelings, about her.
I did think it was Olivia
That
Cooke.
Was a great moment.
She was in Bates Motel, the quite pretty good TV series. She was in Ouija. She was in Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, The Limehouse Golem. And you are correct. You have completely, you've
what?
Reined it in. What's
what,
the word I'm looking for?
What have
for?
I done?
Redemption. You've
have
redeemed
I?
Yourself.
How?
She's in Ready Player One.
Oh, I said that.
Oh, that wasn't me.
That was
awesome.
Oh,
God. Brilliant.
I said that. I'm Kay. Me, just Kay, that Steph.
That great case, redemption
Steph
still
hasn't
to come
redeemed
then.
Herself.
Oh, no.
Right, let's move it on.
Wow.
My next recommendation is Oprah's Masterclass, a new podcast, 30-minute podcast, which I thought you'd talked about. So when
Oprah's Super Soul Sessions.
But it launched. Well, I don't know. It launched on the 19th of July. That's why I double-checked, because I was like, I'm sure Steph has talked about this. Was Dwayne Johnson on it?
I'm not sure. I mean, there's been a lot
Let
of
Let me
them.
Tell you what this is,
tell
and you can
me
tell
what
me.
It
right.
is.
Basically, she's getting... high-profile stars and athletes to talk about the lessons they've learned throughout their career and life.
How can she have two podcasts at the same thing?
Yes, I think it is new because it said it launched on the
19th of
July.
It's probably a new series of it, isn't it? It's probably been... They have a new series of podcasts, don't they?
Yeah, but her thing is called Oprah's Super Soul Sessions.
No, they
so
mentioned...
So this is a different thing?
Yeah, I think
Fine.
So. But still by
Continue.
The Oprah Winfrey Network. And,
yes.
But you will love it. It is ruddy, ruddy, ruddy brilliant. No, it's very interesting, like... She's got, because it's Oprah, she gets really good people on.
Yeah.
And so, like,
who
the
says
first
no
one,
to Oprah?
No one says no. And so, the first one she has on is The Rock. And it's basically, so she's not actually on it. She does a little bit of an intro. and halfway through she'll dip in and like move it
really?
On. But it's basically like a monologue. No, it's that's what's weird. At first, I found it a little bit hard to get my head around because it's just like him talking, like a almost like a monologue. Right. But the thing is, because what he's saying is so interesting, you soon like get used to that. And he's just talking about different parts of his life and different lessons that he's learned through that. So, for example, one of the examples was that he, when he was wrestling, he was meant to be like the baby face, like the goodie in wrestling, right? And people used to chant for him. But very soon they realised that it was quite inauthentic to who he is because he was meant to laugh and joke around when he'd lose. And that wasn't him because he's quite, you know, tough and macho.
He's a big tough guy.
And so then they soon started booing him and just being like, oh, Rocky sucks. They used to call him Rocky, you know, Rocky sucks. And he found it really hard. And then he like tore a tendon, had the rest of the season off. And when he came back, he said to the promoters, look, if I come back, I can't be the good guy. I need to be who I am. I'm just going to go in and I want to talk to the audience for 2 minutes and that's the only way I'll come back and do it. And they were like, yeah, sure, do it. So he went in and he was like, they were all booing him, the usual kind of thing. And then he was like, the Rock does not suck. And then started giving them loads of shit, basically.
The
and
Rock
just
does
being,
not suck.
Yeah, and just being his normal self. And for long, they were cheering and he was like, the best wrestler around, you know.
And now he's like the highest paid. And now
he's in everything.
Actor in Hollywood, isn't he? The highest paid or highest earning?
Highest earning, because he does like about 8 films a year.
He does.
As we know, we've already discussed already on this very podcast.
Boyd, I don't know what your beef is with me today, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Anyway, so that is good. It's 30 minutes long and available wherever you get your podcast from. It's brilliant. It's very interesting. And the second one, Steph, you'll like, is with Jay-Z.
Oh, I'm definitely... So is it a bit like a kind of stream of consciousness, them talking? Okay.
It's exactly that. They're just, you know, they're just reminiscing.
Oh, I'm going to download that right now.
I don't know why Oprah doesn't just interview them.
She's just got a lot on.
She's got a lot on.
I did think that when I first started listening to it, it was a little bit, you know, wrapping your head around the fact that someone's just sitting there just talking about themselves with no one actually prompting them stuff. But you get used to it.
Okay.
Okay, the next thing I wanted to tell you about is, and it's a bit of a random one, but it's Inside Facebook, Secrets of a Social Network, and it's on All Four.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What did you think of it?
Yeah,
I thought
great,
it was...
Yeah.
Steph,
it's scary.
It's so disturbing and shocking. Basically, it's an insight into the secretive world of people who moderate Facebook. And so Facebook have outsourced it in the UK to this company, and... this undercover investigator goes in and he kind of gets the training of what is and isn't acceptable. So these are the guys who are deciding what can be seen on Facebook, like the videos and stuff like that, and like who can see it. So they run through all these different elements. Like, so he's basically filming a training session and there's different things they look at. So it's like bullying, child abuse, hate speech, self-harm. And because there's, you know, there's not a lot of regulations. There is some, but because it's so black and white, if anything falls in between, stuff that is what I would think is common sense, it just doesn't get taken down, but it'll get marked as disturbing.
Right.
So to give you an example, right, there was a video of a young boy, like a little tot, being punched and kicked by an adult, right?
Oh my
really
God.
Bad. It's been up for years on the site. And in this like training session, the guy was like, well, surely we take this down. And they were like, oh, actually, no, it doesn't quite, it doesn't break the rules and T's and C's of Facebook.
My God, that's ridiculous.
So it stays up.
When stupidity overrides bloody T's and C's.
And then
this is ridiculous.
What the idea, what they kind of like getting to, although it's been denied by the vice president who was on there, is that actually all Facebook cares about is the money and the ads revenues and keeping people on the site as long as possible. And because that video, for example, was shared like something ridiculous, like 44,000 times. And they just, they kind of, it's
people
implied
so
that they don't care. I mean,
sick.
Obviously the vice president's totally denied it. But if you're interested in anything like that, just have a look because it is such an eye-opener of what goes on.
So I don't go on Facebook. You never know what's going to come at you.
Do you still have your account?
Yeah, I just don't ever log on. I don't ever go on it, ever.
Yeah. An example to us all.
Yeah.
Well, in many ways, Boyd, I am.
Yeah.
So that is Inside Facebook, Secrets of a Social Network on All Four, if you are interested in that. And then the last thing I was going to talk about, I know you're going to talk about, Boydo.
Don't let that stop you.
No, I'm going to chip in when you talk about it. It's Who is America with Sacha Baron Cohen, which...
Well, you teed it up now. I mean, you might as well start.
So you basically watched it last week, just before it aired, right? And you were describing it to me, because I said, look, just nutshell it, like a DVR.
Nutshell it,
tell me what it's like.
Mm.
And actually, it didn't quite do it justice. Like, you know, I had to watch it fully.
For yourself.
Because, yes.
Yeah.
So this is Sacha Baron Cohen's thing where he
satire.
Basically, yeah, so but he basically speaks to members of like American.
It's a mockumentary.
I'm
going
to have to nutshell it for you, aren't I? Because you're kind of...
Not just for me, Boyd, for the pogs.
Yeah. Well, Kate's watched it.
Yeah, so he assumes different. He's assuming different personas, and then he kind of, it's a satire. So he's like lampooning public figures. So like
so classic Sacha Baron Cohen stuff. This is what he's always done, isn't it?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Listen, you don't want this bottle of water to end up.
I
all
knew
over
who
you
meant. I knew who you meant.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
His sister. what it is, I'm going to nutshell it. It is in the tradition. He's, you know, going way back to the Ali G show. He's been doing it for years. Chris Morris did it a lot in Brass Eye, where you adopt the persona of a fictional comedy character to then interview real life people. Some of them politicians, campaigners, activists. Some
is that
of them not
what I just said?
No, because you kept saying satire, and I'm explaining the format of him adopting fictional characters. I don't think you said that. I may be wrong. Apologies if you did. And then interviewing the real people. And it's kind of like sometimes, like there isn't necessarily an inherent satire, I think, within all of these interviews. Like, for example, the very first one was this character of a kind of right-wing conspiracy theorist guy who was in like a mobility scooter, but then like explained in the middle of the interview he wasn't actually disabled, because a lot of people in America got accused Sacha Baron Cohen of lampooning the disabled, which he wasn't doing. Anyway, he was interviewing Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I love
right,
Bernie
now,
Sanders.
Now, it wasn't really satirical.
Yeah,
that interview
I know.
At
you're
all.
Right.
It was, but I think we've been led to believe, because it's called Who Is America, and because of the marketing, and you know, it all dropped suddenly on Channel 4 without much, and Showtime in America without much advance publicity, because of the clips that we'd seen, and just the general gist of it. It felt, oh, this is going to be like a whole thing. It's going to be a satire on Trump's America. But actually, bits of it are, but not all of it is. So
I think,
it's kind
well,
of
do
like,
you know what? I think that was what he was trying to do.
I don't even know if he was. I think it's just almost like, if you go back to like Ali G, for example, Ali G would often interview a fairly famous person, not sometimes politicians, but sometimes just it might be a TV presenter or someone, or a person who runs some kind of company.
A public figure,
thank you. And often it'll just be, well, what are they going to be like? Like, are they going to go along with this? Are they going to fall for the fictional character being a complete idiot? Or are they going to be, like, for example, so Bernie Sanders kind of goes along with this figure and is polite to him. And it's quite interesting to see, but he doesn't really fall for the stupidity.
No.
So it's almost like, I feel it's almost like semi-pointless to even run the Bernie Sanders bit, because he doesn't, there was no end point of, oh, he's fallen for it at all. Whereas the whole of the second part of it, which was taken up mostly with these gun lobbyists and gun activists, gun rights people in America.
Oh, I have seen that.
He got them
this
to join his campaign to give
3-year-old
guns.
Yeah,
gun-imals,
okay.
They call them.
Right, so that is using the fictional character to expose the unbelievable cretinous stupidity of these moronic gun advocates in America.
Like getting senators and lobbyists at one point at the end, they ended it like, happy shooting, kids.
Yeah. I mean, that was incredible. So that
was the best thing.
The
about
unfortunate
it.
Thing for me was, is that now that we're discussing it, and I was going to say this, I was going to pick it out, but they showed, you could see all of that gun stuff. It was put online, I think on YouTube, by Showtime in America before the show went out. So I watched that before the show went out. Yeah. So I'd seen that bit, which was incredible. I thought that was brilliant. But the first half, with all these other things, which I didn't think worked, either on a satirical or comedy level, was took up most of the first part. And I was a bit disappointed with them.
Yeah.
But I think in general, he's introducing these four characters that he's going to do throughout the whole series, I think. Maybe others as well. As much as, you know, showing, exposing terrible people in Trump's America. So it's kind of like, I think it's slightly more complicated than it initially seemed. But,
I completely agree with what you said. I don't think that the first half worked, because, like, you know, there was a couple, for example, and Sasha's character was this gender fluidity expert, like, lecturer. And so he was trying to be really, like, he was saying to them, oh, you know, like, I don't let my children, like, I don't let the boy when he's going to the toilet, I don't let him stand, and I make the girl sit down, you know, all this kind of ridiculous stuff. But the problem is that they were incredibly polite, and they weren't shocked. They didn't, like, they were quite non-judgmental, and they were asking, like, probing questions. They didn't give the reaction that you would expect, so then it just wasn't that funny.
Oh, bad luck, Swasher.
Swasher. I mean, if only Sasha had been doing it, it would have been all right.
Then it might have been all right.
Unfortunately for us, we're recording this now Monday afternoon. The second episode goes out tonight. I haven't seen the second episode yet.
Okay. Might have redeemed himself.
He might have redeemed himself, like, as you did earlier when you remembered that show that Olivia Cooke had been in. Or was it Kay? Anyway, I still think he's still a brilliant, brilliant performer. And I think the gun stuff was incredible. I think it's still unmissable in my eyes because I still think there'll be brilliant things coming up.
Well, okay. It's a talking point.
It is. We've kind of reviewed almost as a fourth review.
I mean, I was just going to say that.
Saoirse Baron Cohen show.
Not that I would ever be the one to move you on, but what else hell have you been watching?
I'm not going to talk about much else. You'll be pleased to know. I'm just going to very quickly mention, that Richard Bacon is back with us, my hero.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, is he okay?
He's fine.
Welcome back,
recovering.
Richard. So he is your friend. Let's just be clear. He's a good friend of yours.
I was on the radio with him for every week, pretty much about six, seven years on Five Live. He got a mystery. They don't know what it was. So they thought it was
chest
pneumonia. It was like a double chest infection. He was told it was like bird flu, like double bird flu in his chest, but they don't know what it was, and you know what? And he says they will never know what it was. So not only did he come very close to dying because they had to put him in a coma to get rid of these infections, there was no way they ran it. So he was in a coma for a week in hospital. But they'll never. He was told afterwards when he came out of the coma that he needed, and they'll never know why.
They know if it's going to happen again? Then
Sometimes they can't.
No, he's completely gone. He's absolutely fine. He's not. It's not. He's completely fine now in terms of the infections, wherever they were. But obviously he's really weak.
Build up
his
strength.
He's been in a coma for a week.
But
he's absolute legend. He's. You can hear he was interviewed on Radio 4, Broadcasting House on Sunday morning, and you can hear that on the radio listen again thing, the BBC radio app. And he was on Five Live just before me today on Nihal's program, interviewed, and both those interviews are brilliant where he talks completely. So if you want to hear the whole story from the horse's mouth, and he sounds great, he sounds in great form.
He must be so
happy and also so grateful to the NHS.
He's incredibly grateful to the NHS. He literally walked into Lewisham Hospital, A&E, when he felt weak and he felt he had breathing problems, and then ended up in hospital for 2 weeks and the whole thing. And they saved his life. It was incredible, So he is an absolute broadcasting legend. And a hero.
Did you talk to him about your champagne illness?
I need to see him, so I need to go see him, and I'll tell him about my very minor.
No, you're gonna have to
my
listen,
very minor
listen,
champagne
Rich,
illness.
You think you've had it bad? I know you've been in a coma, but I've had the champagne illness.
So I'm mentioning that, and I'm going to quickly mention two films that are on Netflix. I thought you'd come. Caliber is very good. Caliber is about two young guys who go hunting in Scotland, and the horrible, horrible thing happens. And it's what happens after that. It's really good.
Christ.
Jack Loudon's in it, who is in Dunkirk.
Ooh, and War and Peace.
And War and Peace, and he's great. And he's brilliant. He's like the one who's affected mostly by this thing that happens. And I'm going to tell you because it's a huge thing.
Well, don't ruin it.
And have you seen Ibiza?
No.
Ibiza is this film on Netflix that looks terrible, right?
I've
dropped
heard
about a couple
this.
Of weeks ago. It's about this group of young women, American women, who go over first to Barcelona
on a
business trip. And then Ibiza, she falls for this DJ. And it sounds terrible. It's actually not that bad, and the women are really good, and it's quite funny. And I found myself watching it on a Sunday night. I thought, I'm going to just check it out. And actually, the women are really quite funny.
Who are they?
Well, now I knew you were going to say that.
Well, I mean, it's a natural.
What I would say is a crucial fact.
Who are the women?
All right, hold on. Let me just crank it up on my Netflix. Gillian Jacobs, Vanessa Bayer, and Phoebe Robinson.
Phoebe Robinson's amazing.
Good. Yeah, they're all really, really good. And it's surprisingly good. Long, but surprisingly good.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm going to leave it there. I may or may not visit the set of the new Ricky Gervais.
But I
probably shouldn't say
Ricky
that.
Gervais.
But that's going to be amazing.
Oh, really?
That's a Netflix show.
When can you officially talk about it?
Probably not till next year.
Oh, cool. Something to look forward to.
Stay tuned, guys.
Fingers crossed we're still around.
But it's been announced. The show's been announced. It's called Afterlife, and it's got a brilliant, brilliant cast.
Including?
Diane Morgan.
Oh, I love her. From Motherland.
Philomena Kunk and Motherland.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And many others.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Well, it can only be time for
Penelope Wilton, David Bradley, Tom Basden, David Earl, Joe Wilkinson, Kerry Godleman, Joe Hartley, who's lovely, who's brilliant, Royston Connerty.
Okay,
we're going to have to stop you there.
Yeah. Let's move on to the meat. No.
No.
To the tweets and the stuff.
Oh, my God. Wow. It's now time for the tweet before the meat.
Wow.
There's
this kind of a theme phrase that we do, Boyd. Please just stay in line, okay?
can't remember these things.
Right. We've had quite a lot of communication on the old Twitter. Yes, you'll be very happy to hear. First up, I want to tell you about a message we've had from @Wilkie100, who said, loving the Teacher's Pet podcast, recommended by John. What story? Surely got to go after Chris Dawson now. Love your podcast, guys. Keep up the good work. Now, listen, @Wilkie100. Usually at this point, I'd say, what are you talking about? That was me. I told you to listen to it. I'm letting that slide. I'll tell you why. Because John is known for giving fantastic recommendations.
Yeah. But that was your recommendation. Yeah.
But that's fine. No, I'm just happy that @Wilkie100 listened to it and thinks it's great.
Absolutely,
which is like,
not. He didn't listen enough. He should have listened to you. You basically gave nearly that whole premise of that whole story away. You deserve. Do you know what? Give me his handle. I'm not happy about this.
Be nice.
You're going
to listen. Be nice to listeners.
You know, listen.
Steph.
Listen,
I mean,
mate,
I can't remember what either of you are saying. I'm sitting here in front of you.
Yes,
so,
but
you are regularly
visited by senior moments. This, I don't know how odd this Wilkie person is.
Someone else who has enjoyed what we're doing at the moment is @Critters, who said, wow, great. Now, she said Rex, which is recommendations, but, you know, you've got a shortage of space on Twitter, so get it.
Now, Boyd, I've actually looked at this week. Please listen carefully. I need your full attention here.
Wow, great Rex, right up my alley. Please let Steph have as many Rex as possible. She is the best. I've listened all the way to episode 9 of The Teacher's Pet, and it's so good. Great work, guys.
Yeah, but remember, who's that again?
Critters.
Remember, Critters, you hear the edited version. I mean, you know, it's about 5 hours long.
Do not speak to my number one pog in that manner. Thank you very much. She is my new favourite.
What's also great, actually, about that tweet is that we had another reply to Critters' tweet from @DavJenks. David Jenkins, who said, thanks so much for listening to Lynn Dawson's story as told on The Teacher's Pet. Aunt Lynn has been missing and deeply missed for 36 years. The investigation gives us hope that we will one day get to bring Lynn home to rest.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So that is from @DavJenks. Everyone, if you haven't started listening to The Teacher's Pet, I think there can't be any greater endorsement than that. We also had a question from @Critters, which I'm going to bring to everyone's attention. And she says, question, and the only reason I'm reading this out because I know that Steph is primed to answer it.
I am primed.
Question, are you allowed to review shows at work, i.e. watching TV at work? And I'm going to just give you a bit of a spoiler. Steph has already replied to her saying, I literally can't wait to answer this question on next week's pod, as a brilliant argument will no doubt erupt.
Okay, now Critters, here is what you need to know. So, in my capacity in Heat Magazine, as assistant editor / picture director person, I do not get time to watch shows during the day. This is something that is sometimes not understood by my dear colleague Boyd, illustrated so perfectly this morning when he said to me, I said, I haven't watched Succession because I wasn't it was a link to your email and it couldn't work. And Boyd said, well, you need to watch it because you need to, like, don't leave it to the last minute. And Boyd does not understand that I cannot watch an hour-long show during work time. However, he is able. However,
I mean,
at the same time,
you're a busy woman. You've got to look through 8,000 pictures of Cheryl Cole. I know, it's hard.
Not just that, Boyd. So, in answer to your question, Boyd rarely understands that I cannot watch shows during the day, during work time, because he has a lovely life of sitting there and watching television shows
all day long.
What have you got to say to that, Boydo?
I've got my priorities right. Instead of crawling through endless reams of the same picture of Victoria Beckham, you know, on holiday.
Is that what you think
Instagram.
I do? Is that
I know
all
that's
you think
what you
I
do?
Do.
I exactly
you know
what? You
do. Right, long and short is we make time to watch this TV by hook or by crook just to provide a service for you guys. We hope you're still enjoying what we're doing.
I have to watch it at home.
And if you are,
by the way,
if you are still enjoying it, feel free to stick a review on iTunes because I've had a look at it the other day and we're now static at 107 and that's agitating me a little bit.
Are you trying to tell me nobody has reviewed this podcast since we got the cake?
Yeah, I know. That's amazing. We made a rod for our own back, right? Because we built it up so much.
Boyd, you look far too happy about that.
No, yeah, look at him. He's being a bit smug.
Rod back.
Guys, come on. We can't let him be smug. No. So if there are any new pogs listening and you would like to review us, that would be great for
you. Oh,
you
know
received.
What we should up it to? Boyd having to take us out for a 3-course lunch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why don't you reward the listeners? Why don't you tell the listeners?
We'll record it in the restaurant.
If you rate and review it, Kay will go around and give you a cake.
come from?
Well, you're going, oh, well, it's up to me to take you. It's about rewarding Boyd, the listeners.
All
listeners
I'd say is,
review, you're
pick
give
your
them a
fights, yeah? Choosing yeah. your lashing out is Steph today.
Oh,
I'll
no,
take it next week.
On.
Right, moving on. Let's have some meat, please.
I'm getting a real lashing this week. Right.
Is that tweets and stuff done?
Yeah, it's done.
Good.
Yes.
Time to move on to the meat. Starting with Age Before Beauty, the new drama from Debbie Horsfield, who, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it feels like about approximately 9 months ago.
I believe it was 50 minutes ago.
The writer of Poldark, who would like to explain Kay what on
who
God's
would like
green
to explain
earth,
Kay?
Who like? Well, no
That's
one.
A bigger wow. conversation.
No one yeah. can explain Kay.
I'm an enigma.
Premise us up on Age Ooh. Before Beauty.
Okay, so it's a family saga set in Manchester, as Boyd has said, in a beauty salon slash hairdressers. And it's a bunch of sisters with their mum and dad, a family-run business, but it's not doing very well, okay? So it's doing really badly. The main character, Belle, played by Polly Walker, she was running the business or very heavily involved, and then she gave it up to become a homemaker and raise her children with her husband, Wesley. They've been married happily for 25 years. He's played by James Murray. But now the twins have gone off to university and she's got all this free time. So her brother-in-law slash best friend, played by Robson Green, he says to her, look, you've got to come back because the business is doing really badly and we need you to save us, essentially. Now, he hasn't told his wife that, called Heidi, played by Vicky Myers, because she would go absolutely apeshit. She is a cosmetic surgery addict. She does all the fillers and Botox. Quite a hideous character. Anyway, she decides to come back and help them out, and she does. While that is all happening, what she doesn't realise is that her husband, Wesley, who's feeling a bit unloved and, you know, wants some attention, is finding tension elsewhere with a personal trainer. Oh. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Correct. Stephanie Celan, what right. did you make? Oh, sorry, that's my pen being very loud on the desk.
It's a lovely pen you've got there, Boyd.
It's a very nice pen. Did you give me this pen?
I bought that pen for your birthday.
You should Glorious. Have known as soon as she set you up with that's yeah, a nice pen.
Anyway, we'll move
Thank
on.
God, I remember that it did too.
We'll move on.
What did you make
right.
of Age Before Beauty?
I have one gigantic problem with this show.
Oh, dear.
Okay. And here it is. The opening title sequence
oh yeah
is so cringy
Ooh.
It is enough to put people off. If you can get to it or fast forward the opening title sequence, I absolutely love this show, but the title sequence is so cringy I just can't bear it. Now did you all watch the opening title
yeah.
sequence?
Yeah, I agree.
So
actually,
it's
not the
this
best.
Strange kind of. The all the characters are talking and it's breaking the fourth wall thing.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah to camera. Yeah,
to camera. And it's
it was
just,
bold.
It's not. It's just. Crap.
I think they were just trying to do something. But I know what you mean.
It's not good because. And what really disappoints me is, you know what? When I watched this, I thought, oh God, this is going to be terrible. And it's a really good show.
Oh, well, there you go. Let's get over the hump of the
yeah,
title
but
sequence.
But that's why I'm saying to the Pogs, do get over that really yes. annoying thing. And actually, you know what? To the makers, just get rid of that. Make something different.
The makers.
But it's not very good, is it? It's really.
I just say I think they were trying
it's
to do something
good.
Different, weren't they, Kate?
Yes,
I know what you mean. It was a bit. It was a bit.
It's a bit
cheesy,
embarrassing and cheesy, and it's just not good. And
but the rest of it, you really liked.
Listen, I thought I was completely drawn into this as a family drama. The only other thing that slightly annoyed me is I really could not understand why Belle would actually put up with the sister like that without saying anything. The sister, as you said, is a hideous character. She's so nasty to her older sister who's been off taking care of her children. And she's just constantly saying horrible things to her. I don't think Belle should be as meek as she is. I understand they're making her a meek and mild character and she's the fixer and she's the person who helps the family out. But it's unbelievable to me that she would not
She'd
ever...
She would endure that.
She
yeah.
would in, yeah, exactly. That she would continually endure like she says nothing, she doesn't even say anything to the people around her about it. She's just like, oh, she's just like that, she just puts up with it. And the other thing that I think I don't know whether it works entirely is the Sue Johnson married to the mum and dad figure.
I
mean, it's okay, I just didn't yeah. I but
Sue
I
Johnson,
really really overall really really enjoyed it.
Sue Johnson's married to this old dude who's like bitter and twisted, and she's living the high life. She's having sex, affairs, basically. He's having affairs, and they've got like an open marriage. But he's bitter and twisted about her. But I thought that was funny.
Did you? Okay. Well, I really liked it. I was totally drawn in by it, and I have to know what happens. And the good thing is, I thought they kind of, throughout it, gave you little clues to what was happening. The story, it was eked out very, very well. Because I thought, oh, 60 minutes of this, I don't know. And actually, it was really good. Really liked it.
Kay, I sensed when we selected this show to review that you weren't necessarily 100% looking forward to it. Am I wrong?
I misunderstood. I thought it was a reality show. Because of the title, Ageful Beauty, I thought, it's going to be like, you know, some kind of Channel 4
reality.
You thought
it was like an E4 show set in like there was a thing, well, wasn't there?
There was a salon, but that wasn't an age. But I thought it was a combination of the salon with the thing.
Salon
was great. So I found the first half problematic because I didn't believe they were like, I didn't believe them as a family. I just didn't get that dynamic. Yeah. I thought it didn't really.
With the Sue Johnson thing, it doesn't really.
None of the sisters, though. Yeah. I mean, you didn't really get that chemistry, and I didn't believe particularly that they were beauty specialists. So Lisa Riley's one of the sisters, isn't she?
Oh, is she? I didn't get that.
I think it was
all
a family of sisters, right? So
I didn't get that. I thought it was just Belle and the blonde girl that were sisters.
No, have I got this wrong?
I think she's one of the sisters, Tina, Lisa Riley's character. Yeah,
yeah, so they're all sisters, and I just didn't get that kind of sisterly vibe. I didn't believe they were like particularly family or beauty specialists. But having said that, exactly halfway point, 31 minutes in, there's a plot twist that I totally didn't see coming. Mm. And it was enough to now, I'm like, right, I'm really drawn in. Because actually, of the whole thing, I think the strongest characters are Robson Green's character and also James Murray's character. I think the men are actually the best thing about the first episode.
James Murray is so handsome.
I don't think. But
he's so handsome. Who? Belle's husband. Is it
James
Murray?
Murray?
Yeah.
He was in Cuttingham.
He's so handsome.
Well, you know, he's Sarah Parish's husband, IRL. Is he? In real life,
Well done, Sarah.
Yeah. He's great,
So, this plot twist was what really drew me in. And then from that minute on, I was like, because actually the relationship between the personal trainer and...
played by Madeline Mantock.
Yeah, and Belle's husband, the chemistry was great. And I was like, yes.
He is brilliant. He's a very underrated actor, James Murray, because he was in one of the greatest hours of television of the century.
What? Sherlock?
No.
Doctor Who?
Don't take the piss.
Was he something with Jerry
Doctor
Seinfeld?
Who. No. Oh, this is interesting. Okay.
No, what
Cucumber.
Was it?
Cucumber. Do you remember Cucumber? Russell T. Davis's.
Oh, yeah. Is that Channel 4, E4?
Very Channel 4, and then they have the spin-off shows on
E4. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But episode 6 of Cucumber, if you haven't seen it, it was the one where the character of Lance, who's one of the two or three main characters, I mean, spoiler alert, but he's killed by James Murray's character in a horrendous sequence, like a really horrible... So James Murray played this character who's obviously like secretly gay and can't deal with it, and as a result is horrible and kind of bullies him, even though he ends up kind of having sex with him. And it's a horrendous thing. And then the whole episode is his life story kind of told in a flashback in a series of vignettes. It's the whole thing is all about this guy's life, and it's so brilliantly done. Russell T. Davis, it's a masterpiece. Anyway, James Murray is a key element of that.
He's great in this.
And he's brilliant. And he plays this horrible, mixed-up guy. Mm. And he's great in this, as you say. He's really underrated
And Robson
actor.
Green, actually.
Robson Green's great. I think Polly Walker is really good as well. I know who plays Belle, who's his wife. And you can see she's like, you know, she was dealing with the two kids fleeing the nest.
Yeah.
That's that thing. There's the two. There's the flying. Brother and flying the nest.
Not fleeing.
Fleeing. They flee. They fly.
It's flying the nest.
And
flying the coop.
Fleeing the coop, and she was really good dealing with the emotional drama turmoil of that she, you know, and she's kind of more affected by it than he is because he's running off having an affair with a personal trainer. What we've said that
okay,
yeah, I haven't given away. That's early on. You've already talked about the affairs revealed very early on, isn't it? Literally in the first scene.
It's also in the press info, so it's fine.
Yeah. You think it's the other twist? I'm not really. Anyway. Really good. And I think it shows that Debbie Hosfield, who has brilliantly adapted Poldark for the last 4 years, she is so clever with her plotting. You know, she makes it all, she kind of entangles these plots together and also is great at dialogue as well. So I think she's a brilliant writer and I think this is great. And I think you could have and I know what you mean about the opening title sequence. You're not wrong. Get over that. Get over some of the slightly... No, I'm not saying it to you. To everyone.
Yeah, they should get over it.
Get over it. I think the trail's slightly misleading as well. Mm. I've seen some of the trails I've seen make it seem slightly cheesy than it is. I think it's really good. And it's good. 4 stars from me.
3.5 from me.
4 from me.
Age Before Beauty, is on BBC One next Tuesday, the 31st of July at 9 p.m. in the evening. And now we move on to Travels in Trumpland with Ed Balls. Mm-hmm. Stephanie Seelan, what is it?
Well, Ed Balls, former Member of Parliament, famous Gangnam Style dancer on Strictly, sets out to answer the question we've all been asking ourselves for the last however many years. How the hell did Trump get elected, and who the hell is voting for this person? So basically, he starts off saying, what is the most dangerous thing to do is just ignore the voters. You cannot ignore the fact that this man was voted into office. Agreed, not on the popular vote, but he was voted into office in the way that counts, unfortunately. For some
maybe
people,
a little bit of
help. Yeah. The Electoral College vote, yes. So anyway, he is going around America meeting these people who have voted for Trump and finding out what this was all about. So in this first episode, he goes to this crazy festival which is entitled Rednecks with Paychecks, and it's a festival of people who rednecks is just the kind of colloquial term for country folk, and he tries to find out why they're voting, all big Trump supporters, all Trump voters, and he meets a wide range of people. He meets African-American people who voted for Trump. He meets a Mexican woman who voted for Trump, who's like, build the wall, it's totally fine. This is absolutely fascinating. He also goes along with an ICE officer. So ICE are the immigration people who find illegal immigrants and get them deported. So he goes on, it's not a raid, it's a, I can't remember the word term he uses now, it's like a enforced extraction situation.
And he finds calls out it how, a raid and they
he calls it a raid
him.
And they get annoyed about
the acronym's
it.
Tea or something.
Yeah. TEA, yeah. Anyway, targeted enforcement arrest or something like that. Anyway, so he goes and finds out what happens. It's absolutely fascinating. It really made me think about these people who have voted for Trump. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to
Did
say.
You mentioned the wrestling.
Oh yeah, and at the end.
I mean,
end,
you can't leave out the wrestling.
Sorry.
I mean, hold on. We've
at
got
end,
Ed Balls in a wrestling singlet.
So
in a leotard.
Yeah. In a leotard.
Yeah. Also, it's at just the end, he takes part in a wrestling match, and that bit is absolutely insane.
Kay.
Yeah.
You previewed this television program in the annals of Heat magazine. What did you think?
I really enjoyed this because of my beliefs and how I perceive Trump and his politics and how he's running both
You're
his country.
You're very much a fan of his, aren't you? Let's
I'm a number
clear.
One supporter. Cut me,
you
I believe
think,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know that, Boyd.
Absolutely.
I'm constantly talking about it. I spend a lot of my time thinking about him.
I know,
but you don't
think,
care.
You see the good in him. You see the good in everyone, and you're seeing Trump, and you think, you know, yeah, give him a chance.
Yeah.
You know, he's
Why
just
not?
Doing his best.
Look, he's just
I know
alpha,
he's separating
hardworking
kids.
American.
People are going to start believing that you really think that,
so
stop
I really hope so. This is why I'm
looting it. Obviously, I'm not of that opinion, but I do spend a lot of time, you know, following what he's doing and thinking about his legacy. And so actually what was good for me to do was to look at it from the other point of view of the people who do support him and actually see it through the pro-Trump lens. Mm. And I think the best person to do that is Ed Balls because he's so well informed, he's amiable, he's non-threatening and kind of non-judgmental. So he gets a lot out of these people. And for me, the most extraordinary thing of this whole thing, other than seeing him in a leotard, which is sensational, was the time that he spoke to this Mexican lady. Now, she is someone who 20 years previously had swum over from Mexico, an illegal immigrant, food worker, very hard worker. She has been so convinced by Trump's arguments that she's standing there and she's saying, do you know what? I am a pro-Trump supporter. I've fallen out with my family about it, but they still love me. But this is how I feel. He's completely right. They should build a wall. I'm in. They're not. Well, you know, maybe that makes me selfish.
It was shocking
but,
to me,
you know,
that.
it was really shocking because it kind of highlighted to me that he is so good at what he does and he's so convincing to these people that actually, you know, when you look at it on the face of it, he's just supporting hardworking Americans. He just wants to like make secure jobs in the US. And he's keeping the bad guys, the bad hombres out. You know, why do we want Mexican illegal workers coming in, bringing their drugs and all this kind of stuff? And so for her to be convinced, a Mexican illegal immigrant, that actually what he's saying is true, that they should keep these people out, her people, and for her to reject her motherland and potentially some of her family members, other people she knows who would want the same opportunity that she was given, is extraordinary.
I think what Trump is able to do is able to harness a very simplistic argument that people can follow. And because they can follow it, they don't, they think, oh yeah, actually what he's saying is right. Well, why wouldn't, like exactly as you said, he's, all I'm trying to do is I want to keep out the people.
Yeah, jobs
who,
good, drugs bad.
But in order to enforce the legislation that would keep certain illegal immigrants out, you're also, what people fail to understand is what you're also doing to maybe, he doesn't understand the room for innocent people to be caught up in this kind of legislation.
Care.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't care, but the message
well, I don't
that he's giving.
Care either, do they?
No, but the fact that they don't care is problematic. The fact that they don't care is incredibly problematic.
Of course.
But my point being is that he is able to cut through because his messages are so simplistic of, oh, I'm doing this because of this, whereas people are not looking into the other areas of what he's
I
doing.
I don't think they care. I thought what was great about the this documentary is that it showed that, I don't think it's not, some of them are simplistic, if you like. Like some of the people who voted for Trump are stupid.
No, but I don't think the people in this documentary, they're so well adjusted that you actually stop.
I'm about to say that.
Yeah.
But the vast majority that he meets in this show, in this documentary, in fact, I thought the wrestling segment, actually, I mean, the woman, you're right, the immigrant, the Mexican woman who wants the wall, was pro-war and wants to keep the rest out because she's a right Jack, literally.
It's awful.
She's a right Jackie. I'm going to keep the rest out. That, I mean, people are selfish and you almost can't blame them. People generally, you know, vote for policies that they feel keep them safe and boost them, keep the others out.
In the wrestling,
when he meets the wrestlers and to some extent the veterans, the people who used to be in the, some disabled veterans, war veterans. A lot of them, he gets them to say on camera, oh, I know he's done this terrible thing.
Yeah.
I know he's done that terrible thing. He's probably a racist. He's definitely, you know, but I still am going to support him and carry on supporting him.
Because of what he's done for me.
Because of what he's doing for us. Mm. And that's what he's done. He's tapped into, and there has been an incredible just taking for granted of the American, poorer American, particularly white people.
Disenfranchised,
underclass America. And they have been completely abandoned. And, you know, the likes of Hillary Clinton, I'm going to make a big political point here, but I think it's true. The kind of, you know, the privileged establishment politicians have completely abandoned. So that, and he is totally occupied that ground.
Yeah.
And this documentary series, I think it's the best, I think it's so great about it is it's the best example of explaining that phenomenon that I've seen, because you can be so, it's so easy to dismiss them as the basket of deplorables and all of that.
Absolutely.
But you see these quite intelligent, decent, hardworking, but they're going to carry on supporting Trump no matter what the F he does.
Yeah.
And the slightly annoying thing is this was all filmed just before the worst thing he's ever done, which was the tearing apart of the families, the removing of the children from their parents on the border crossing. But even then, but I would have loved to have seen.
And I think people would still defend him.
I know. I went to the launch of this and Ed Balls was there and us journalists were asking him about it. And we all agreed that even then they would find a way of, or even if they said they didn't approve of that, they'd still generally vote for him again and support him again because all they care about is him and what they perceive that he is doing, because he talks about it constantly and he champions them constantly, make America great again. It's all about championing that underclass. And I thought this documentary explained it brilliantly. I thought Ed Balls did a brilliant job.
I think I totally agree with you. And I think what this does, exactly what you're saying, is it shows you why the perceived kind of liberal elite did not win, did not get the vote, because actually...
They dropped the ball.
And I think it's going to happen again. I think it's going to get re-elected.
I could see
he's not impeached, you know, which is possible, I suppose. But I don't think that will happen either, because that's down to the Republicans have to go along with that.
But yeah, Ed Balls, who's someone, I have to say, I don't normally like, I'm not a big fan of Ed Balls.
Not a Balls fan?
Not really. I find him a bit annoying.
Do you?
But I thought that he did such an expert job on this, and he was really, really good.
Well, the other annoying thing is, I think I said he was Chancellor of the Exchequer, he was Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, but what is definitely the case, because he was unseated in the last election, is that since he's stopped being a politician, him and Ed Miliband, who of course they were both together, you know, Ed Miliband was the leader, he was the Shadow Chancellor. They were so uptight and unappealing as politicians.
Yeah,
they're both of them, they're like brilliant. They're like having the times of their life. They're going on Strictly, they're making documentaries. Ed Miliband's got a podcast. If they were like that when they're in the bloody Labour Party, then they might have got elected. Anyway, this is getting 4.5 stars from me.
This is getting 4.5 for me. And just to say, it is a three-parter, so everyone tune in.
4.5 for me.
Travels in Trump Land with Ed Balls starts on BBC Two on, I think I've written Saturday, but I think it's Sunday, the 29th of July at 9 p.m. Yes, Sunday, the 29th of July. Next Sunday, 9 p.m. Finally, Succession. Only I've seen it in full. I'm going to tell you what it's all about. Succession is a big, meaty, 10-part drama series created by Jesse Armstrong, who with Sam Bain created Peep Show, no less. The brilliant sitcom that went on for like 8-9 series
I
on Channel
Peep
4.
Show.
Brilliant. And revolves around a fictional business tycoon who is, I think, quite similar to a certain very famous Australian
James
business
Packer.
Tycoon.
Mr. Murdoch?
Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch.
Strong echoes of Murdoch. He's called Logan Roy. He has the fifth biggest in this program. He has the fifth biggest media and entertainment conglomerate company in the world. He's got a wife and 4 adult children. One child from his previous marriage who kind of lives in a farm, isn't really that bothered about the business. He's got one main child the main contender to take over from him. He's like getting on a bit and he thinks he's going to step back from the company. Played by Jeremy Strong called Kendall. There's Siobhan, who's this female child known as Shiv.
Also known as a daughter.
Also known
female
as a daughter.
Child.
Female child.
How many other female children has he got?
She's more interested in a career in politics, but he kind of likes her. There's Kieran Culkin, plays Roman, who's the like cocky, maverick, slightly childish, semi-crazy.
I love him.
Brother of Macaulay.
Brother of Macaulay. And they're all competing for power in this company. They all think he's about to retire or step back. And then on his birthday, he actually reveals he's not going to offer, which changed his mind. He's going to stay in the company and he's got plans, which I won't reveal, to kind of shake the whole thing up, much to the fury of Kendall, who thinks he's all got it signed, sealed and delivered. I've watched the first episode. I think this is really incredibly compelling. I've always thought that like the Murdochs of this world would make a brilliant subject for a drama.
It's like Dallas.
It's a bit like Dallas.
Yeah, is it a bit like Dallas?
But kind of
no,
really
this is better. I mean, it's not like it's unfair to compare it.
No,
I think,
but it's
in
like
terms
Dallas,
of
but brilliantly written.
Yeah.
And acted.
And well acted. Yeah.
Brian Cox as the main, as Logan Roy, the kind of Murdoch figure. It's got a great cast. Matthew McFadden plays Shiv's boyfriend, who's really this kind of like blatantly ambitious and wants to kind of help take over. And he's kind of really slick and knows how slick and glib he is. I thought it was so well written and believable. It's hard to make these big, larger-than-life figures, believe me when I say. But so I thought this did a really good job. I think it's great. I can't wait to see the rest of it.
Is this like a family drama? What's the jeopardy that he's just... Well, they're all... They're all vying
for power.
Yes.
It's a big power struggle. They all want to succeed him. And he's unwilling to relinquish control. So he's like this narcissist patriarch who thinks basically that none of his kids are probably good enough to take over.
Right.
They're surrounded by morons. And you know, Kendall, is it second eldest son? The one who thinks he's going to be the natural successor.
Yeah.
Thinks it's going to happen, is so pent up, ready for it. And then it's all scuppered. And then he goes, I love the scene actually, from what I have seen, the scene in the bathroom where he finds out, his father just says, no, I'm actually, not only not succeeding me, I'm going to stay on for a couple of years. And he just goes completely berserker in the bathroom. And I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, there's a sense that he's a slightly probably drugged up, you know, he's got like a kind of coke fiend quality to him.
Yeah, but I really like Macaulay's brother, what's his name?
Kieran Culkin.
Kieran,
he's
great. He's such a great character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Matthew McFadden good? Because I really like him.
He's really good.
He's a real weasel, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a weasel. He's kind of an oily...
Oh, I can imagine him playing
he's
a
like
good oily.
Blatantly oily. But what I loved about the clever spin on that is that he knows he is. So he announces first that he's oily and like that to everyone he meets, but that doesn't make it good. He's still kind of like happy to carry on being like that. But there are really funny moments with him because Shiv seems great. And there are funny moments. He's like, what should I buy your dad for his birthday? He wants to buy the most obsequious thing. Mm. And Brian Cox, as the dad, Logan, has no time for him at all. And he's brilliantly dismissive to him because he knows he's a little creep.
Mm.
And so that it's great.
He's dismissive of them all.
He's dismissive of them all, but you can see he has a fondness for Shiv, I think.
Yeah.
For Roman, even though Roman is a massive, gigantic twat.
It's because they're not interested in his role.
They're not blatantly interested. Yeah. There's a great scene where he takes them all off in helicopter somewhere, like upstate, and they have a big party and they have a game of round of baseball. And there's an amazing thing that Kieran Culkin's character does that I won't reveal. And there's a great scene.
Can't wait to watch this in full.
Yeah, it's great. I'm going to give it 5 full stars.
Oh, I'm giving it 4.5 from what I saw.
Oh, I wish I'd seen it.
Succession starts on Sky Atlantic / Now TV next Thursday, August 2nd, 9 p.m. And just to let you know, Sky have waited, so it's all gone playing out on HBO at the moment. So all the 9 episodes are all ready to watch as episode 1 airs, as a binge. And then the final episode is going to be available from the 6th of August after its US premiere.
Is someone going to get murdered in it? Because I feel like that's what it needs. It needs a murder.
I don't think it's that murdery. No, I think it's all about the power play.
Yeah, that would be too easy, I think, if he got murdered.
Too easy. Okay, too easy. It's not a murder. It's not a crime. That's why I think the good thing about both Succession and Age Before Beauty is that they're non-crimey shows. They're not normal genre.
It's a breath of fresh air.
They're both breaths of fresh air. So 5 stars from Succession for me. How many stars for the half you've seen?
4.5.
4.5. And you can't judge it because you haven't seen it yet.
I'm going to give it 4 from what I've heard.
Well, we've nearly taken far too long of your time, too much of your
time. It's over.
I think, hopefully
it's over.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. There's one more thing to do.
It's question time.
In honour of Ed Balls, who are your favourite Balls? No?
Left or right?
What or who is the best Ed ever?
I only just looked at this question, so can I answer first? Because it's the first Ed that came to mind.
Shearer, you're going to go for Shearer?
No, the duck. Ed the duck.
Well, that is a good answer.
Yeah, from The Broom Cupboard with Andy Peters. Do you remember Ed?
Of course I do.
I had an Ed the duck. He had green. He had a green mohawk and he had a yellow face and he was a duck.
Oh, that's nice and nostalgic.
Yeah, and he was best friends with Andy Peters and I really liked him. And his name was Ed.
Wow. Kay?
I'm going for a derivative. I'm going for Eddie. And I'm going for the dog.
Oh, Frasier's great dog. One. Great
oh,
one.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really good one. You've won what we said. You've won.
You may have won, yeah. I'm going for Edward Woodward.
Edward Woodward?
Yeah.
Or Iwa Wuba.
Iwa Wuba, yeah. Who was a legendary British actor. And he died in 2009, aged 79. He was in loads of many things. He's called The Equalizer, because The Equalizer's out now. The Equalizer 2 is coming out now with Denzel. Well, this was the original Equalizer, which was a great British TV show. He was also in The Wicker Man, one of the all-time great British horror films.
Well.
And on that bombshell, all it leaves me to say is, we'll be back next week. And it's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
Us together. Nice. Goodbye.